Okay, as we take our seats, I want you to tell someone around you what distracts you most. I want you to tell you what distracts you most. Go and tell them. What's your biggest distraction in life? What is your biggest distraction? Come on, shout it out. Anybody got any good ones? Anybody got any good ones? Anybody, something good that someone said? That cat behind me. Oh, that was behind me. Yeah, okay, on the screen. Anybody else? Sweet things? Come on, sweet things. Anybody else? Social media. That's very good. It's very apt today. Well done. You can tweet that later. Right. Anybody else? How about this side? Come on. Anybody got any good ones? What distracts you? Money. Money, do you? Because you've got so much money. It's just, it's everywhere. You're like, it's too much gold here, too much stuff. I get it. So many things that could distract us, right? I got this thing in my pocket and it's a pony. And I think it's a pony. I don't know whether you can see it on. Screen. It's a unicorn. No, it's too distracting. My daughter gave me this, and she said, "You look after this one because she has two. You look after this one, and I'll look after another one that she took into Squiggles. She's not going to have it by the end of Squiggles. I'm telling you, some kid's going to either have stolen it or eaten it. Either way, it's not coming back. But you know, bless your generosity culture. You know, but it's funny with kids because." We're in Windermere the other day, and with both kids, and one's in the pram, and one's just living life and life to the full, if you know what I mean, just going for it. And we're leaving one of the best charity shops, British Heart Foundation, in with things in there. So we were leaving that shop, and I'm kind of like pushing my son out, and then my wife comes out, and then my daughter comes out, but she's got an ice cream, and I see it. She's got that ice cream in her hand, and you know, okay, if you have a child that age or whatever, you know what's about to go down. Okay, so she's starting licking it, and it's got starting to tip. You know where it starts to turn, and she's not a clue. That cost me £6 that ice cream, and so she's like, she's tipping it and licking it. I'm like, oh, and it's everywhere, and I'm like, oh no. And so what I do is I've got the pram, the shop, the pavement, the road. I let go of the pram. And I'm like, no, don't let the ice cream fall. Just let go of one child to save an ice cream. Suddenly, Nehemiah's rolling into the road. Not into the road. She didn't get there. Don't arrest me. There's some police in here. All right, don't judge me. And so he's rolling towards the road. He's for his eyes, just milk after milk after milk after Paw Patrol after Thomas. And Han screams out, Ben! Like that. And I freak out. So I'm like, oh my goodness. And so the ice cream saved, but yet the child was, I'm joking. So the child was, and so she grabbed the pram. And it's one of those moments where you've got two kids running away from separate. You choose which one you love most. You're like, which one is going to be richer when they're older? Okay, you. No, it's not like that. It's a little bit like that. So we're talking about distraction today. Now, what I should have done is said, oh, sweet darling, could you please tend to our oldest child to stop this incredibly expensive ice cream from falling on the floor while I nurture this one into full health of being? But I didn't, it was just reaction. And I think often we live life by reaction. So we live life by, okay, we're doing this, but then suddenly attention, so we leap over here, and then we leave this to just float away or whatever and run away with us. And this is what I want to say to you today, is that when you become a believer in Jesus, he not only rescues you from the life you're in and sends you into a new life, but he gives you a future. He gives you a hope. There's a reason to wake up today. There's a reason to go to sleep tonight. Because every day he gives you a purpose. It gives you a purpose in this world, in your family, in your jobs, in your education. You're stuck in a dead-end job. You're stuck in a dead-end education. But let me tell you, the people that are around you need the life that's within you. And when Jesus gives you a purpose, he gives you a reason. And because he's given you a purpose today, you should be the most focused people in all of this world. You should be the people, and if you're not a believer in here, you get away with this. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you should have a focus. Say, this is what I'm about. This is who I am. And this is the future. Me and my family, I want to help you gain focus today. I want to help you find what those distractions are and help you to go and enjoy your coffee after the gathering. So we live our lives often by distraction. I want to introduce you to a guy called Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a fantastic guy in the scriptures, and he's in one of the books in the Old Testament, and he essentially is the guy that rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. This is about, I can't remember what it is, 800 BC, something like that, maybe sooner. And the city's in shatter. It's a mess. War after war, famine after famine, it's a mess. And suddenly Jerusalem should be the jewel in the crown of Israel. It's what people had died for. It's what and eventually this is where Jesus would die for us and rise. So this is an important. He heard about what was going on, and a messenger, and it's going to be on screen, but we're in Nehemiah chapter 1, but I'm going to be taking you over a few chapters. So if you want to read it, you can, but don't get angry at me because I'm going to skip a few, but it's all going to be on screen for you. Okay, so we're starting in Nehemiah chapter 1. And so he heard this from a messenger. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, this is Nehemiah saying, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah works for a king, and he goes to the king and asking really for a sabbatical to go and fix and rebuild these walls. And so this is the conversation. Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting? What do you want, Nehemiah?" So he prayed to the God of heaven and said, "Send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it." Now he starts the project, he gathers the people, each tribe, there's 12 tribes, there's a number of thousands of people, and they all get given sections of the wall to build. Some weeks into this is what happens next. Three people arrive, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab. Weird names, I know, but it wouldn't sound right if it was Keith, Barry, and Dave. And when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, "Come and let us meet together at Chachatachalachar." I studied Greek. Fantastic. Who named that? Someone in real trouble, you know. Oh no, we've got all these enemies coming. Oh no, they've run out of donuts. Oh no, what are we going to do? What should we call this place? How do we tell people? Just call it. Oh no. I sent messengers to them. Oh, sorry. But they intended to do me harm. Hence why they want him to go to, oh no. And I sent messages to them saying, "I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?" And they sent that to me 4 times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. You know, sometimes when distraction comes, you have to be consistent. Which means you don't settle once, you don't settle twice, you don't settle how many times, you stay consistent. Let's skip toward the end. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. Fantastic, 52 days. It's taken about 6 years to sort out the M6. You know, in that 50 like mile an hour zone, I think they should get Nehemiah on it. Do you know what I mean? Let's vote for him. Okay, let's not make it political. Okay. I just feel really cheeky. It's bank holiday. I just feel like... Okay. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their esteem, for they perceived... Oh, this is it, guys. They perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. You know, when people look at us and they look at what we do and they think, oh, who's paid for this? Who's built this? Who runs this place? And I'm like, well, the church do. And they're like, really? And it's brilliant because they can see that we did this with the help of our... Okay, so one thing to note today is I'm not talking about disaster. There's a difference between distraction and disaster. Because how many know we all face disaster in life sometimes? We face sickness, pain, grief, And that's a whole different kettle of fish. Today, we're looking at distraction, those everyday things that pull us away, from what we should be doing. I'd love to one day speak a message called Dealing with Disaster. What to do when you feel like the world is ending. I would love, maybe one day we'll do that. But today we're talking about distraction. And for me, as I read this story, the three biggest distractions come from the people in the story. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Now, I did a bit of research, you know, because that's what I research. I'm a, you know, very holy man. So I went on thesaurus.com and dictionary.com. And I looked at, okay, what do these words mean? And I found this out, that actually each word, as most names in the world, have a meaning. And so here we go. The three meanings of the names are up there. And I think that's a really good framework for us to understand the three biggest distractions that we actually face every day. The name Sanballat means strength. How many people know that you can feel intimidated sometimes? That you're doing something significant, you're rebuilding the walls, you're following the focus that God has given you, but suddenly there's a person in the way that is just intimidating you. There is a problem in the way, there is a risk. Come on now, there is a risk involved that's intimidating. And I think probably Nehemiah was probably a little bit intimidated. Represented so many different armies in that Arab region that if they wanted to, they could attack at any time. In fact, what I love in this story, if you were to read the book of Nehemiah, is they ended up where every builder had a tool and a sword. So they had a tool in one hand and a sword in the other. Because when you build something significant, you must always be ready to fight for it. That you can never take your eye on what's going on or what's going on around you, because if you're doing something significant for God, not everybody's going to agree with it, including Satan. He's not going to agree with it. What we do is we build and we build and we build and we fight with the sword and we protect the very thing that we're focused on, that we're meant to be doing. I believe this is that intimidation from someone's never comes from a place where that person thinks they have it all together. Like when I've been intimidated by people in the past, it's always because they're more afraid of me than I am of them. Or they don't understand what I'm doing and so adopt a position of fear and they want to intimidate me to stop me from doing what I'm doing. But I'm telling you now, with the same spirit that David faced Goliath, that he said, stirred in Goliath his eyes and said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but in the name of Jesus, you're an idiot. And I'm not going to move. And I've got some stones. And they might be small, but I know where I'm throwing them. And I'm aiming at a tiny spot. And you might think, oh, that's insignificant. Oh, who are you? You're so small. But because I am so focused, I am accurate, I'm going to throw those stones and knock that giant down. With the same spirit that we have to face down Goliath is the same spirit you can have in your workplace. The same spirit you can have in your business, in your university, in your home, where you can stand as you and Jesus and face down the most intimidating circumstances, because it's not just you anymore. Jesus is with you. God's with you. And you don't need to be afraid anymore. You don't need to be afraid anymore. Don't let intimidation distract you. The second thing I notice is Tobiah, whose name is Good, which is ironic. There's a guy called Levi Lusco, who, it's a really weird name, I know, but he's a good guy. And he writes a lot of books, and he's a speaker and a leader in the US, Christian guy. And he says this, that distraction is so subtle sometimes. Distraction is so subtle sometimes. And it only becomes, something becomes bad when you do good things instead of the most important things. Not every distraction is bad, right? So you sat down after a long week and you're reading your paper or you're reading your book and suddenly a text goes on your phone or a notification on Facebook. Someone sent you one of those stupid invites to Farmville or something. Buy 5 carrots for £2 to feed your rabbits. And you sit and you think, it's not bad. It's just life. There's things, and it's not, it's good. like doing a lot of things is good. There's a lot of good things you could be doing. But if you notice, guys, if you stick up for me, the verse that is verse 3. So if you put up Nehemiah 6, verse 3, Nehemiah 6, verse 3, he sends a reply back. And he sends a reply back to Sanballat and those guys. He says this. And I sent messages. I am doing a... Come on. I am doing a... I'm doing a great work. I can do good work. Or I can do great work. No, I'm 31, right? So I am well old. I am well past it. Honestly, I can't believe how old I am, you know. That was a joke, guys. All the over 50s, don't stone me. That I've got a lot of years to live, and I do not want to spend the next few decades of my life doing good work. I want to do great work, because I believe that what God has asked me to do is a great thing. And so when people say, oh, let's do this, let's do that, why don't you come over here, why don't you... I'm like, no. I'm staying, because I'm doing a great work. This isn't just good, this is great. And we need to understand in our life what are good things, what are great things. And great things never produce immediate fruit. They never seem worth it in the moment. You'll look back and you'll say, thank God I did that every day because of what it's produced today. Because it's great. I'm doing a great work, so I can't come down. It's almost like I'm coming down to that level. Like I'm over here on this wall, but I have to come down to you, to this level, to this valley of, oh no, I'm not going to do that. What we need to do is make sure we understand what are great things and good things, because good things should never replace what's most important. And finally, Geshem means rain. It means rain. And I liken it to this, really. I really want to interpret it as negativity, because I think one of the biggest distractions we have is negativity. Is people who are negative towards what we're doing, negative towards us, the negativity of our mind towards ourselves and what we're doing. Negativity is just a part of everywhere. And I read this quote on Pinterest the other day, and it just, you know, Pinterest, it's like a picture and a quote on it, and it said, you don't need to worry about anything. It can't rain forever. And I thought, that's absolute rubbish, that. I hate these, like, millennial motivational quotes. I'm like, it's never rained forever. They've never been to Burnley, right? Number one, because it's always raining in Burnley. And number two, what's that based on? Like, what is that? And even if it does, your plants are going to grow better. I mean, what's the problem with that? I think we're in a mindset where, oh, it's just a season, it's just a season, it's just a season. But I'm telling you now, negativity is just around us all the time. And it will always be around us. But what's the difference? What's the difference in your workplace? What's the difference in your family or this town? You are. And you are not a negative person. You're a positive person. Because guess what? Is it a red? Yeah, it's a red light. And it sort of makes the film. And if it just gets too much light in it, it ruins it. And here's the point. That negativity and negatives only ever develop in a dark room. And the negatives in your mind only develop in a dark room. But I don't know if you're sat in my seat today, but I know someone who's the light of the world. I've got someone up here and in my heart telling me that I don't need to be less than what I'm worth to him. I don't need to do anything less than what is expected of my greatness. I don't need to do anything less, but Jesus is there saying, I love you, I'm for you, I conquered the grave, I healed the sick, I reached out to the marginalized, hey, I forgave you and I will forgive. My goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. My mind... I'm developing in a light room, not a dark room. And so the intimidation, anything that faces me in my life, you know, you can do all things because of me. Not in your own strength, but in my strength. We all face negativity. I can say that I have faced more negativity in the last 12 months than I have in the entire 12 years I have been a part of the staff here. And is it any surprise we have just come into a 1,000-seater auditorium? We are reaching hundreds of people every year for Jesus. We are literally dragging people out of debt. We have 70 people in our community groups who don't come on a Sunday or a Friday night, who belong to something but don't yet believe. Is it any surprise that Wigan is going to be turned upside down in the next few years by the people in this room, and yet now negativity has suddenly come upon us? Oh, what are we going to do? There's just negativity. I can't handle it anymore. Christ was wrong. It's raining. It's raining. Oh no. I'm in the valley. I don't know. No, come on, get up. You have Jesus inside of you. And every scheme of man or the enemy will never pluck you from his hand. And I don't care whether there's 3 of them, 5 of them, 6 of them, 10. I will stand here for the rest of my days. I will not come down. I will do a great work because he has asked you and me to rebuild the walls of this town, to rebuild the walls in Wigan. Come on, somebody. To rebuild the walls in Lee, which is more challenging, let's put it that way. To rebuild the walls in your family, in your children's lives, in your grandchildren's lives. And we're going to let some negativity ruin that? Nah, no chance. Instead, I am going to exactly where I am. And that negativity might come one time, two times, thrice times, 4 times. I don't care. I'm going to answer it in the same way and say, I'm doing a great work here and I'm not coming down. Two things to take away, and we've got 15 minutes left for you. The two things to take away from this are, okay, if you face distraction, which, you know, you will do, then two things that I thought, and it's not particularly like groundbreaking, I just think sometimes it's helpful to be Captain Obvious sometimes, if you know what I mean. Ta-da! Captain Obvious today. Two things I think you can do, just walking away today, to help you destroy distraction. Number one is know your role. Know your role. Know your job. Listen, Nehemiah knew what he was doing. He's rebuilding the walls. He gathered a team. He gave them a portion. And he said, come on. And he cracked the whip sometimes. Come on, we're falling behind. We need to get it done. He knew his job. And you need to know yours. And I'm not talking about a job at work. I'm talking about your job in life. What is the thing that just gets you out of bed every day that you think, do you know what? No matter where I am, if I live in Skemmersdale, if I live in, you know, Mozambique or Texas, wherever, I'm going to wake up every day and know that actually that's what I'm here to do. I'm meant to encourage. I'm meant to create. I'm meant to change. Whatever it is in your context, I don't know. But you've got to know what it is. So do you know what you're focused on? Do you know what you're focused on? What is it that your life's about? What is it that is the most important thing to you in your life? What is it? Because for that, in order to identify what a distraction is. Second thing, we need to respond the right way. Respond the right way, because distraction is going to come. And you need to make sure you have things in place to deal with that in order for you to not go down, but continue your great work. So Nehemiah did it. He sent a messenger, which I think is great. If any, I tell you what, PAs have a rough job sometimes. If you've ever been in a PA in here, can I just say well done for surviving? Number one, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He sent his messenger to go to the enemy and say, he's not coming. Listen, I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot me, literally, don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. He's not coming. He won't come. Don't ask me why. I told him, listen, I said, you should go and see these guys. Like, Sanballat, I know him. He's a great guy. He's got a hell of a backhand at tennis. He's a great guy. And Geshem, you're a bit negative. Your face speaks more than your words sometimes. I mean, girlfriend, stop it. But, you know, I said, look, come down, just talk to him because, you know, it'd be a great time. I said, you had donuts. I said, listen, Tobias made donuts. You should come, you should go, but he didn't. I told him so, you know, don't kill me. And the messenger got off scot-free. He sent a messenger. Imagine if in our lives, the focus that we had, we made sure we dealt with those distractions the right way so we stay focused. Imagine if in our lives, instead of texting back straight away, we checked it and we just said, I can deal with that tomorrow morning. Imagine that. Some of us, I'm telling you, some lads in the room, right? Some men in the room, some married men need to do this more often. You ready? Watching this, it'll change your marriage forever. Spirit's going to be amazing. Get ready. There it is. Wow. Some of you lads, because I have a problem, okay? So I'm watching the TV and I'm watching, Netflix, just the programs about the Bible, you know, about Jesus and stuff. I'll stop it there. So I watch the TV and suddenly my phone's open like that and suddenly I'll get a text and two things are happening at the same moment in time. I see the text and then I feel the presence of my wife's eyes looking at me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. I'm joking. I know what she's saying. She's like, you don't need to deal with that now. We're here having some time together, watching programs about Jesus. and she's saying, it's just a distraction. Yeah. And you think it's the most important thing in this moment to do that, and it's not. This is the most important thing. So you just turn over your phone. And it's never anything bad. Sometimes it is. I just don't answer those. Sometimes it is bad, but most of the time it's good and it's people and it's, but you know, sometimes I have to just turn it over and say, I'm just responding the right way. Because right now my focus is family. Because some of us guys, let's be honest, if you have children in here, your children are playing around doing the funniest things imaginable, but we are just sat there. The TV's on, Spotify's on in the next room, and we're just doing this. Missing the most important thing that's right in front of our eyes. And suddenly the distraction becomes the focus. Oh, come on now. Suddenly the distraction becomes a focus. Well, all these things that are like fun and, oh, there's a cat running into a glass screen window. Hilarious. But you start following an account called Cats Run Into Glass Screen. And suddenly your life becomes, and oh, that's all you retweet. I know you're in the room. Okay. It's an intervention today. It's not a gathering. And suddenly this becomes the focus. But what we need to do sometimes is just go, I'm just going to put that down. I'm just going to watch my children play. Or more than that, I'm going to play with them. This is the awkward stand-up. It's a great transition. Never let your distraction become your focus. That's good stuff, that, guys. This is what it says in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. This is Paul writing, and he says it so good and so eloquently. And he's writing to a church in Philippi. He's not writing to a bunch of people called Philip, which I think you could take it if his name's Philippians. He says this, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. I've not achieved all the things that I want to see. I've not achieved everything that I feel God set out for me. But I focus on this one thing. Isn't that so interesting? This one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Wow. I've not done it all yet, but this one thing, what's he saying? I remain focused. I am doing a great work and I will not come down to my past. I will not come down to the former things, but I will rise above it yet and continue my great work.